Following the Passover in Jerusalem, you walk outside your home, you find there's an unusual amount of commotion in the streets. People are running, people are shouting. Your curiosity gets the best of you. You follow the droves of people making their way towards Pilate's Praetorium. You encounter a sea of angry people. You fight your way through the crowd towards the front to just catch a glimpse of what's going on. Everyone is shouting and pushing. You can barely keep your feet. It's hot. It's almost stifling. Amongst the crowd, you can hardly breathe. You finally get to a place where you can at least see what's going on. Pilate is addressing the crowd, but they're all shouting too loud. You just see his mouth move. You can't tell what he's saying. He's pointing at a man standing there in chains before him with his head down. And you ask yourself, who is that man? The priests keep yelling at him and shouting and striking him. Then finally the man raises his head to answer Pilate, and then it dawns on you, it's Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Why is he up there? Why is he in chains? What could this man have done? You've listened to his teaching. He's a kind man. He has healed the sick and the lame. But the crowd is shouting louder and louder, crucify him, crucify him. The only break in the yelling comes suddenly when the people shift their shouting and start yelling the name Barabbas. Pilate orders the guards to set him free. But why? Why are they setting that man free, but Jesus standing there in chains? Why is Pilate washing his hands as he speaks to the priest and they start shouting back? Suddenly, the crowd roars with almost deafening climax as they yell louder and louder, crucify him, crucify him. Almost without thought or control, something comes over you. Maybe it's the heat. Maybe it's the permeating hate surrounding you. But you yell at the top of your lungs, crucify him, in perfect unison with a crowd around you as Pilate orders Jesus to be taken away. You are the angry mob who just condemned an innocent man to death. His only crime was being exactly who he claimed to be, the Son of the living God. Your job is to inflict pain. No, it gives you great joy to inflict as much physical pain as possible. You take great pride in the fact that you can take a man to the point of death, just before the light leaves his eyes, and stop. Men wish for death when they're in your hands. They beg for it, then to continue on. The flagrum, the whip, and the rod are the tools of your trade. The Hebrews had laws forbidding more than 40 lashes, but fortunately the Romans have no such laws. You make men's backs look like a freshly plowed field. In fact, they come to you as men, but when you've had your way with them, they only resemble what used to be the form of a man. You are the soldier who whipped the back of Jesus. You feel the cold iron on your fingertips as you raise your hammer high, swinging with all your might, driving the spike through the flesh of what appears to be the bloodied appearance of a man. The blood splatters in your face. As you rise up to wipe it away, you catch the glimpse of an almost swollen shut eye. Just for a brief second, you look him in the eye. There's something different about this man, as if he can see deep into the inner parts of your soul. But you have a job to do as you drive another nail through his other hand. You are the soldier who nailed Jesus to the cross. It's been pitch black now for 3 hours. The sun was veiled, the earth shook and trembled violently, but you have orders from Pilate to break the legs of the crucified men so they'll hurry up and die so the Jews can get on with their Sabbath. You take your club and you break the legs of the first man as he uses his last remaining strength to scream in pain and agony. You move to the next man, but this one already looks dead, so you move to the third and you break his legs instead. You holler for a spear, you raise it up, and you thrust it into the man's side as a blend of what appears to be blood and water rain down upon your face. As you step aside to wipe it clean, you hear weeping, and you see a centurion, a hardened soldier, crying that this man was innocent and shouting, "This was the Son of God." For nearly 2,000 years, the question has been raised, who is responsible for the death of Jesus? Who does the guilt fall upon? Who will God hold accountable for what they did to him? Was it the religious leaders of his day? Was it the angry mob? Is it Pilate, Herod, the Romans, the Jews? A simple yet complex answer would be yes. It was because of all of our sins that Jesus was put on that cross. But there is one immensely important thing we must consider. If we had Jesus standing before us and we asked him, "Jesus, who is responsible for your death? Who took your life?" He would simply answer, just as he previously did, "No man can take it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back up again. This commandment I received from my Father." John 10:18. Our Father and gracious Lord, we thank you, God, for this time that we can gather around your table, Lord, and partake of these emblems, God, that represent your body and your blood. Just please be with us, Lord, as we partake, Lord, that we can do so in a worthy manner. And just please, Lord God, be with us. Help us to be better servants for you this week as than we were for the last. Just please, Lord God, help us to make you proud to be called our God. And just please, Lord, forgive us for when we sin and fall short. In Jesus' name.